time to go back down the mole hole with Randy Moleman on 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back to the Mole Hole, everybody. Brought to you by 7th Street Bar and Grill. Go check out my friends at 7th Street Bar and Grill down in Soulard. Hey, if you want to watch college basketball today, go to 7th Street Bar and Grill. They open at 11 o'clock. They have great food, TVs all over the place. They're right down in Soulard, right across from Soulard Market on South Marion, right at the corner. Check that, 1530 South 7th Street on the corner of 7th and Marion. Go see my friends at 7th Street Bar and Grill today and watch some college basketball. I'm going to be there tomorrow, actually, watching some college basketball. If any of you are out and about tomorrow, I should be there mid-afternoon or so, hanging out with some friends. We're going to watch a little basketball and have dinner and get a little silly. So come check us out at 7th Street Bar and Grill down in Soulard. Joining me now in the Mole Hole, a writer at the Redbird Daily, and I've read some of his stuff. He does real good work. Please welcome Colin Garner. Good morning, Colin.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you wrote an article recently that caught my attention, and I think I want you to expand on it a little bit. You were telling us about four Cardinal prospects that we should be excited about. We've heard their names, but tell us a little bit about those four and why we should be so excited about these guys.
Sure. Those four guys would be Magnaris Sierra, center fielder, Eliezer Alvarez.
Eliezer? Is that how you say that?
Eliezer, yes.
Eliezer.
Eli,
wow, that's
and
tough.
Eliezer on the end.
I'm a public address announcer, so that would be tough for me.
Yeah, good luck. Paul DeYoung, he's a third baseman and shortstop, and Harrison Bader. So the first two, Sierra and Alvarez, are kind of similar players. Sierra's the center fielder. He's got really good speed. He's a line drive hitter. He's not going to hit for very much power. He only hit 3 home runs in Midwest League last year, but he did hit over 300. He's a plus-plus defender. He's probably the best defensive center fielder in the organization. Very fast, very strong arm in the outfield. He's actually impressed so much in spring training that another manager asked Matheny if he was going to make the 25-man roster coming out of spring training. And Matheny said, well, hold on. This guy hasn't had an at-bat above A-ball yet, so let's be careful here.
He's the guy, too, player. Colin. Hey, Colin, he's the guy, too, that scouts say defensively he could play center field now in the major leagues, right?
Yeah, his glove is major league ready. The question is his bat. He's the youngest player to ever win minor league player of the year a couple of years back. Stole 31 bases. But, yeah, his bat needs to come around, just be a little more consistent, have a little more pop. Alvarez actually is similar in the fact that he doesn't hit for power, but he actually led the Midwest League in OPS because his speed is so good it allowed him to turn singles into doubles, doubles into triples. Stole 36 bases. He's hit for average. He's hit over 300 his last three seasons in the minor league, so he's shown his consistent ability to put the barrel on the ball. So those two guys, they both signed the international market. Now, the two guys who they drafted, DeYoung and Bader, DeYoung was drafted as a third baseman, but he's now moved to shortstop. Last year, he had 22 home runs for Springfield playing third base. They're very excited about about his power potential and his bat. But what's impressed me the most is that he's moved to shortstop, which is not an easy position to play. It's a premium defensive position. And all the reviews I've heard have been very positive. So I think he's put himself in a position to, should someone go down on the infield, that he'll be the first one up from Memphis. Now Bader, he's a very aggressive hitter. He made all the way to Triple A in his first pro season, which is impressive nonetheless. I saw him play a lot in Springfield last year. Quite a bit of pop, even to the opposite field. I mean, this guy can really hit. Now, whether he stays in the center field long-term is a question mark, especially with Fowler signed to a 5-year deal and Sierra behind him in the minor leagues. But his bat will definitely play at the major league level.
And you can find that article on the Redbird Daily, correct?
Yes, redbirddaily.com. That's where you find all my stuff and my colleague's stuff. Been pumping out some pretty good information lately.
Absolutely. That's Colin Garner joining us here this morning. All right, as spring training winds down here, we're in the final weeks. Do we have a ton of questions left? I think for sure there might be some questions on this bullpen with Jordan Schaefer going down. That sort of eliminated some of the possible moves that Matheny and Mozeliak could have made with this roster. But how do you see the bullpen shaking out as we get to opening day?
I think Schaefer might have been headed for Memphis regardless of whether he got hurt, but it looks like right now we have six locks to the bullpen. That'd be O, Segrist, Cecil, Rosenthal, Broxton, and Bowman. Those guys are all probably going to make the team. And the last spot's going to come down to Sokolovich or Lyons. And both of those guys are out of options, so should we option one of those guys, they're going to pass through waivers and probably be picked up by somebody.
Yeah, they will.
So Sokolovich, I mean, he's only thrown about 47 innings in the bigs, but the numbers have been pretty good. I mean, his changeup is definitely a secondary pitch that will get people out at the major league level. And Lyons is coming back from knee surgery, so likely he'll probably open the season on the disabled list. So Sokolovich will probably be on the major league roster. And I'm kind of in the camp of let's keep all the guys that we know can get outs in the big leagues. And Bowman has three options left. So if it comes down to a situation where Sokolovich and Bowman are doing similar things out of the pen, why not option Bowman in order to keep all three of those guys instead of losing one of them to another team?
There's definitely going to be some roster massaging here in this situation. I agree with you. I think Tyler Lyons is probably ticketed for the disabled list to start the year just to extend out a little bit the ability to keep all these guys. And what do you think the reason is the Cardinals don't stick with Sokolovich? Because you're right. The numbers he's put up, I mean, it's pretty indefensible why this guy can't stick.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I mean, you look at his numbers, and he looks like somebody who can definitely, he should definitely be in a major league bullpen somewhere. Maybe not necessarily a back end guy pitching a ton of high leverage situations, but he's definitely a major league reliever, and there's definitely been some confusion, to say the least, by Cardinals fans as to why he hasn't gotten more innings and more of an opportunity over the last couple of years.
I mean, you look at his numbers with the Cardinals. Just with the Cardinals, 43 innings, 43 games. I'm sorry, a 1.89 earned run average, an 8.1 strikeout per nine, and a WHIP under one. I mean, to me, this guy should be in our bullpen.
I mean, yeah, an ERA under two. That'll play anywhere.
All right, Bart.
This spring.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
Well, and everything this spring, again, has been very positive from everything I've heard, and I think he probably deserves a spot on the team.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. All right, barring injury, I think the rotation's set, right? Martinez, Wainwright, Lynn, Leak, and Michael Wacha's pretty much sealed that, right? I mean, he's had a great spring.
Well, he's looked so good, it'd be hard to keep him out of the rotation. Now, right. His health going forward for the next 6 months is always going to be a question mark.
Right, so that's the question, is the health. Because Lance Lynn, yeah. You know, he's coming back from the Tommy John, and hopefully he's strong enough. Martinez is going to be a little fatigued as he gets to opening day, I think, because he started to work hard earlier than normal. Michael Wacha, you never know if he's going to stay healthy. So who's the next man up for the Cardinals in that rotation? And actually, who are the next two guys, would you say, that we should look forward to seeing should they need some help in that rotation?
So I think the first guy for sure is probably Luke Weaver. Saw him a little bit last year. He didn't pitch great at the major league level last year, and it kind of overshadowed just how, I mean, quite frankly, dominant he was in the minor leagues. In 77 double-A innings, he had a 1.4 ERA, over 10 Ks per nine, and under 1.5 walks per nine. I mean, that's really good. That's dominant numbers. So he gets promoted. I think he made eight starts, 36 innings, ERA over five. Strikeout numbers stayed pretty good, but his walks really ballooned, almost three walks per nine once he came up. So I think he's definitely got upside. I think he's rated the number three prospect in the organization behind Reyes and Kelly. So there's definite excitement and definite potential there. But should another guy go down, we're probably looking at one of three guys between Gant, the guy they got from the Braves, who's been pretty good this spring, Mike Myers, who people probably remember for just getting absolutely shelled
against
the Dodgers on Sunday Night Baseball, or Marco Gonzalez, who's coming back from injury. And he's kind of a wild card. People don't know what to expect. I mean, he's a former first-round pick, but he hasn't pitched he hasn't pitched consistently in the bigs since 2014 or in the bigs at all since 2015. And should a second guy go down, I think that's really where we're going to be hurt by the loss of Alex Reyes, because that's really when our depth is going to be put to the test.
You figure, you know, I wonder with if Tyler Lyons is healthy, if he'd be one of those guys.
Well, that's certainly an option. I mean, he was a starter all through the minor leagues. He's made several starts at the big league level in situations like we're talking about where somebody's gone down, so that would be another option.
This is Colin Garner joining us this morning. He writes for the Redbird Daily, and he's joining us here in the Mole Hole this morning. All right, another question I have on this team is, I at first thought that they had some interesting decisions to make in terms of the everyday player roster. But as I look at it, you look at Molina, Peralta, Diaz, Wong, Carpenter, Grichuk, Fowler, Piscotty as, by and large, your regular everyday players. And then you've got Jerko and Adams, who figure to make the team, Greg Garcia, Tommy Pham, Jose Martinez, and Eric Fryer. So the question is, that's six guys, and there's five bench spots. How do you see that playing out?
So I actually looked into this quite a bit last night. I've seen some stuff from some guys down in Jupiter on Twitter that has suggested that with Martinez hitting so well, that the odd man out on the bench might be Adams. So I took a pretty hard look. I know he's disappointed somewhat. I mean, 2013 Baseball America rated him as the best power hitter in the organization ahead of Oscar Tavares, which I think probably raised people's expectations to a level they probably shouldn't have been. But if you look at his numbers as a pinch hitter, I mean, they're really good. He was the fifth best pinch hitter in the major leagues last year, in terms of weighted runs created plus, which adjusts for scoring environment and other things like that. And if you look at that, it's basically his weighted runs created plus as a pinch hitter was the same as David Ortiz's last year. I mean, he's not David Ortiz, but coming off the bench, he kind of was last year. So I think that would be kind of foolish to leave somebody with that kind of track record as a pinch hitter down in Memphis. Because pinch hitting is tough. Like, pinch hitting is something you have to learn. And you've heard guys talk about how it took him a year or two to learn that, and it looks like he has. So I think that could be a valuable tool going forward.
I feel like Adams and Jerko are going to play two or three times a week anyway. I mean, I know that everyone says, well, Matt Carpenter's your everyday first baseman. I still feel like Matheny's going to mess with it a little bit. I still feel like Carpenter's going to get some turns at third base. I don't see how Matt Adams can sit on your bench relegated to only pinch hitting. I feel like he'll get some starts, a couple starts a week. My question is, do you feel like, let's take Adams out of it. Do you feel like at this point, if Adams stays, that it really comes down to Tommy Pham versus Jose Martinez?
I think so, and I think at this point I'd go with Martinez just because, I mean, the dude's hitting the cover off the ball right now. Like, even if it's just because he's so hot and we want to get him on the team while he's hitting so well, put him on the roster. I mean, realistically, Martinez and Pham are probably going to be making the trip between St. Louis and Memphis several times this year. So it only makes sense to start off with the guy who's hitting the best, and that's Martinez. I mean, he's leading the team in several offensive categories right now.
Yeah, the question will be options on those two guys. I think that's the only question. If it were me,
I know Pham has one option left.
Okay.
I don't know about Martinez. I mean, I assume since he started the season in AAA last year, he probably has some, but I don't know for sure.
Right. And you're pretty sure, I'm pretty sure, I think we agree, right? Carson Kelly's not going to start the season at the major league level. He's going to play every day at AAA, right?
No, and he needs to. I mean, that's why they signed Eric Fryer, because they wanted Carson Kelly to play every day. I think he'll be a really good player at the major league level at some point. I don't think 2017 is the year that happens. Now, I do think that should Molina have to spend any significant time on the DL, you will see Kelly promoted to be the everyday catcher. I don't think that in any situation will Fryer play every day. If Molina goes down, Carson Kelly will be getting most of the starts while he's on the DL.
That's Colin Garner joining me this morning here in the Mole Hole. He's a writer at the Redbird Daily. Colin, tell everyone where they can find your work and where they can find you social media-wise on Twitter, Facebook, and everything.
So my writing is at redbirddaily.com. You can find all my stuff there. And on Twitter, follow me at ColinGarner22. That's all lowercase, at ColinGarner22. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Yeah, thank you for calling in. That's Colin Garner. We'll do this again soon. Thanks, Colin.